You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We're constantly hearing that our states, our nation's schools are doing poorly, that our students compare terribly when ranked against kids in other countries. But let's look at context. Let's look at history to answer the question, just how bad are things in our classrooms, really? Matinga Ragatz is an instructional innovation consultant and speaker. She was Michigan Teacher of the Year in 2011, and she was inducted into the National Teacher Hall of Fame in 2017. She's with us now via Skype to explain why this narrative of negativity just might have an unsound basis. Matinga, I have to ask you, though. Late last month, we all learned over half of the third through eighth graders in Michigan failed their M-STEP literacy test. What did you take away from that?
Cynthia, to be honest, I take nothing away. The M-STEP is not a true report card of your children's schools. It doesn't provide the correct feedback because it's not timely, does not allow retakes for improvement, and it measures poverty and the economic inequalities rather than the learning of the kids. So if anything, it quantifies the economic level of your students rather than their knowledge. So it's a faulty measurement of what's happening at the schools. Our kids can read. Teachers are teaching children to read. And I think that we should question the proficiency levels that these tests require and ask yourself, you know, whether this failing school narrative is a con or is it a true? And I really encourage parents to go into their children's schools to understand what's happening in their school boards instead of listening to a narrative that sends them running for the hills, really.
Matinga, you say the way we test our students and measure their success today, it's all based on a landmark report from 1983 called A Nation at Risk. It came out during the Reagan administration. What did it say? What problems did it lay out?
The Nation at Risk was a well-meaning document, I think, but it was grossly misinterpreted and misquoted. And so it was a pretty big indictment on American education and brought in some big rhetoric that describe education systems like, you know, they were a threat to the nation. And it was linked to like an act of war. It was pretty strong. It hit the headlines and immediately everybody jumped on it.
This rising level of mediocrity.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it is very strong language. And so, and I'm thinking that the highlight of that document was this notion that education was causing the decline of a once mighty nation and killing American potential, right? So it warned about the danger to national security and to our economic systems and how it was going to fall apart because our education systems, we needed to do something about that.
But you say this document was flawed. How so?
Well, it was flawed because it was not necessarily the truth. For example, the statistics that the Nation at Risk documents used calculated the test scores between the 60s and the 80s. But at the beginning, in the first decades, those tests were only taken by top level students. And so as the type of student that started taking the tests grew, the test scores appeared to lower. But then when the Sandia report, which is a report that was commissioned in the 1990s and done by the Sandia Laboratories in New Mexico, when that came out, they basically broke down the population of kids who were taking the tests, right? And so they saw that individually, these populations had a small increments of improvement every single year. But because the initial tests were taken by only the high level kids, it made it look like the nation was, quote, at risk.
So how is A Nation at Risk still shaping our national debate on education today?
It is. And it's being used, I think, in ways that are, you know, quite punitive because it continues this familiar get tough on issues and on people who are not the issue. And that becomes the basis of, quote, the school reform starting in the 80s.
When you say getting tough on people, do you mean on teachers?
Teachers and students, really, these are really punitive measures for little kids. I mean, these rigorous tests, nobody likes those. You know, like, you just keep making the standards higher. More homework, more science and math, more basic curriculum. And then this whole idea of this accountability, and then you saw that in the 90s a lot, it became a numbers game. And the numbers game became this route that legislated the impossible, which is, you know, the attempt to quantify knowledge and learning.
So how has this get tough on schools, on teachers, on students, how has that culture impacted kids in Michigan?
I think these particular notions have specifically affected teachers because, again, you're asking the impossible. And the legislation keeps moving the target. So it's very difficult to ever hit the mark. And also, you've removed the teachers away from the conversation. And you should know that the state of Michigan is pretty much the only state that has a practicing teacher sitting in the State Board of Education right at the table. This was the brainchild of Dr. Sue Gutierrez, who's a principal at Forest Hills Public Schools. And this was established in 2002. We are one of the only states that actually has a teacher at that table. And it's also really affected the students because school reform today does not really improve the students' learning. It creates more obstacles. It makes it so teachers cannot innovate because that evaluation or that test score is looming around the corner.
So in your view, what should school reform look like in Michigan? When we hear calls for school reform, what should that look like?
First, I would like to change that narrative. You know, when you put the schools in the hands of the experts, which are the educators, you see an organic revolution that is not reform, it's an evolution. I mean, the reform implies that somehow we are deformed of some way. So I would definitely return the conversation to the teachers. I would ask myself the question, you know, can bureaucrats really, bureaucrats who have a tough time creating a timely plan for fixing potholes, and they travel to those roads every day, and they don't travel through our hallways every day. So if they cannot fix the obvious, can they really be trusted to fix the stuff that they don't see? So I would definitely make it so that the school districts have much more control so they can be more responsive to the needs of the population. And I would definitely, you know, notice what is happening when the teachers have a louder voice. We stopped weaponizing test scores, and we are introducing social curriculums that put us back in the business of just growing decent human beings with skills to support their communities rather than, you know, growing children that can beat countries in different scores.
Matinga Ragatz is going to be a regular contributor to Stateside. She'll be here bringing us her insights into education and what's happening in our classroom. So, Matinga, thank you and welcome aboard.
It's always a pleasure. Wow. Thank you.